Michael stands and needs a 33 and needs to replace it.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for that. That's Claire. Thank you so much for your sharing. I just get so incredibly encouraged when I hear testimonies and people sharing things like that. And that is what I just so believe what these Sundays are supposed to be like. It shouldn't be like I'm running ahead of my notes now. I know I've written this somewhere there. But it shouldn't be like a meeting. Like Morris was telling us, a meeting. I hate meetings. This is a family gathering. And it can change from Sunday to Sunday. And I just was very... Okay, I'm going to get into that in a little bit. So I want to ask you this very, very important question. I don't know if you've thought about it, but I really want you to think hard about it now. Do you believe that Jesus is building this church? I think we've all seen that before, but have you really spent time on that? We know that Jesus is building his church in the world because he says so, and I'm going to read it to you in a little bit. But do you really and truly believe that Jesus is building this church of ours right here? Okay. It's an important question. So there's kind of like two options here. The one is that you may think that I myself, or together Mark and I, or even a team of people, Mark, myself, Marnie, and the rest of you guys, we're all building this church in a way. It's like our plan. Okay, that's what you could think. Okay. In other words, that we are trying to, in our own cleverness and in our own knowledge, try and build this church. That is one option, which you may think. And I really want you to have that question always at the back of your mind. The other option, of course, is if you believe that Jesus is really building this church. It's either Jesus is building his church, as he says he is, or it's us. We're trying to do something here in our own strength, in our own knowledge. And I just want to say that if God is not building this church, it's not going to work. It's going to fall. You can be sure of that. Matthew 16, 13 to 20. I want to read that with you. Beautiful. We all know this scripture. I just want to read it with you. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets, or one of the prophets." But how about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? So that's a very important question. Jesus is asking his disciples, who do you say I am? Because all these people are saying these things. Simon Peter answered, good old Simon, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That is the most incredible revelation and proclamation that could have almost ever been said by a man. You are the Messiah, the one that was promised in the Old Testament. And you are the Son of the living God. In other words, there's no one like you. You are God himself. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Wow. So did you know that Simon means reed? When, in the Old Testament, when God gave someone a new name, like you think of Abram and Abraham, Sarai and Sarah, it all has a very significant meaning. Okay. And it defines who you are. So Abram means father, but Abraham means father of many nations. And so that is, yeah, like I say, is extremely meaningful and profound, not just to Abraham himself. And so here, Jesus is renaming Peter. He's saying that you were a reed, soft and easily swayed, but now, Peter, you are a rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. And I just love it. Not even all the powers of hell will beat it. That's something. That's why I'm saying, do you really believe that Jesus is building this church? Because if he is, not all the powers of hell are going to cause this church to fall. So you see how important and why it's so important to really know that in the deepest part of your heart. I'm not going to be preaching for long today because I have asked people to share on their experiences, which I'm really looking forward to. But why am I saying these things now to you? I've said this before and I'm going to say it for the last time because I don't want to repeat myself. But I know that we have been preaching on church a lot. You'll remember that I have said this before. And I want to say it again. I know we have been. I'm not unaware. But this week, after last Sunday, I was really thinking about that. I'm thinking, what if that's why I asked myself the question. Sorry. Is Jesus building this church or is he not? If he is building this church and these things that we are preaching on is not my own, but is from Jesus himself, then is he trying to tell us something? He's either trying to tell us how important this is, how incredibly important this is to him, or maybe we're not listening. Maybe the penny's not dropping in our hearts, which is why it seems to like go on and go on. But those are the, as I've been meditating and praying this week, that's what's been on my mind. Do you think that Jesus is trying to emphasize and tell us something? And this is not unique just to us. In so many cases, I hear of how the Lord is building his church and how he's preaching into it all over the world, not just here. It's happening, and I always notice it when I see it. So when I see this, I really get a sense that Jesus is building his global church, and we're just part of it. Hey? And he's really, really emphasizing the need to build it correctly according to his blueprint in the Word. And so why is this so important? I don't know if you've had a look around lately. If you've watched the news lately, I hardly ever watch the news, so I actually am probably the most ignorant of us all here. But when I do see news headlines, my goodness. You have to be living under a rock to not know what is going on in this world right now. Okay? And I think that very few believers in the world would disagree that we are in the end times. We are. 99.9% of the believers I speak to believe that we are in the end times now. If you look and they take time to read in the Word, you will see it as well. And I just want to take a small little scripture, just a snapshot. But much is said about this. And Jesus talks about the signs that we must take note of. This is from Matthew 24, and I'm just going to read verses 4 to 8. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." I mean, that one to me sounded quite ridiculous, but I actually heard something that someone on earth, a human being, was claiming to be Jesus. Really? But it's happening. That's the point. The point is it's happening. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we not blessed to be living in Zambia right now? Eh? A peaceful nation. One of the few, if not only nation in the world who proclaims to be Christian. And so we just hear and we see of the wars, but it's chaos out there in so many countries. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. I love that. God is telling us, don't you be alarmed by it. Because he says, such things must happen. Often when I'm in discussions with people about this, that's the thing I say. I say, guys, these things must happen. They're going to happen. But we are told by Jesus not to worry ourselves about it. The end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. This is the word of God. And he's telling us what is going to happen, and we just have to open our eyes and see it happening all around us. We also read, like we just read from Matthew 16, that Jesus' plan for salvation in the world is through his church. He is building his church, and he's coming back for his church. That is of, I want to say, ultimate importance. And if the church, and this is the kind of a crunch of what I'm going to say now, if the church is to withstand what is to come, if we as a body of believers are going to stick together through all that's going to come, we need to pay attention. That's what I entitled today. Pay attention. We need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying to us. If we are going to withstand what is to come, we need to be a very strong and united group of people. And we need to have such a deep love for each other. Because we know that love covers a multitude of sins. Mark has said just recently, close friend groups, churches, we can just see how Satan is trying to divide. It is incredible. It's incredible. He is throwing everything he's got at us to try and divide us. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke on love and love being the greatest thing. It's going to be the thing that gets us through this when we have such love for one another that we can overlook silly little things, the things that are happening, not necessarily silly little things, but the things that we encounter, we'll be able to look over that because of the love we have for one another. And so I was so encouraged from last Sunday. Last Sunday was the absolute highlight of my year, I tell you. I don't know if you were here. If you weren't here, sorry, you missed out. You missed out. I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit with me like never before. I was just emotional. I mean, you know me. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit is just working in me, all I want to do is cry. But you could see Jesus touch people that day. You could see it. Hey? People responded to the call for prayer. Some people stood up immediately and came and testified. It was Oh, it was just beautiful. And who can do that but God? Hey? Only God can touch you like that. And there were some beautiful confessions, beautiful testimonies, and yeah, I just know that the Holy Spirit was working. He was working all over in so many people, and we just glorify Him. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I saw things that I had been wishing for and praying for so many months, you know. And this is what I want to say about the meeting. Like, if you look at this Sunday gathering as a meeting where we go through the same thing every time, you know, it's like, feels a bit dead. Like, you're not allowing the Spirit to move as He wants to move. So, just thought in the last 2 days, imagine we walked in here and people arrived early just to get together to pray in groups. And then we will walk in here and everyone's praying and we think, okay, Lord, wow, I see You doing something here. Let's just pray. And that would be our Sunday. That wouldn't be a bad thing. It would be a beautiful thing. Or maybe we come and we just join the worship team for practice. But the Spirit comes and He just allows us to worship more and more on our own, you know? And how beautiful would that be, you know? These are the kind of things that I wish and I pray that we would see, because giving God room to work as He wants us to work. Yeah, so I was just touched by the time of worship, by the preach by Morris. It was amazing. He said so many profound things that touched me. The fellowship afterwards was incredible. And it was just a beautiful time with each other, and especially with our brothers and sisters from Cape Town. Hey, what an amazing bunch of people. And in case I haven't written it down further, I just want to say exactly what Claire was saying. One of my questions was, would we want to do that? I would love for us to do that. I would love for us to take 2 weeks out of our year, next year sometime, whoever's able, and we go down and we do what they did. Let's just be a part of them. Let's just go there to serve and to love. And it's when we go that Jesus comes and works in us. Hey? That's a step of faith. We believe that I'm just going to go. I have no idea what lies ahead of me, but I'm just going to go. And Lord, will You work in me and through me? May You touch people, because I saw it clearly. I've already touched on this, but along with all the good, I've also seen a lot of not so good things. And that is the, and no other way to explain it, but the attacks from the enemy, who's coming to try and divide in so many different ways. Man, honestly. And I feel like there are times where the attacks seem to intensify, you know? And it's going to happen. And again, these things are going to, they're going to happen. It's going to happen from within the church, and it's going to happen from without. Very good English, eh? And if we have not built this house well, how Jesus has wants us to build His temple, His body, His house, then we're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble. That's why I say, let's pay attention. A house divided against itself will fall. Jesus said so in Matthew 12:25. A house divided against itself will fall. And we need the full armor of God. As soon as I was reading that, I was drawn straight to Ephesians 6, which I'm going to read for us, and then we're almost done. We need to put on the full armor of God. We must not be ignorant of how the enemy is working. He's here. He's working in every single life. Let's read Ephesians 6, and let's just be encouraged by it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, okay? Let's depend on the Lord's power for our strength, not our own strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is what we battle against, not each other. Therefore, Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, which it will, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. That's got to be my favorite part of that. Because you know what? At the end of the battle, guys, we're going to be finished. We are going to be spent, but we'll be left standing. That's what we can take hope in, is that Jesus is going to give us everything we need to be left standing and victorious at the end. It's not going to be easy. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see that? We are going to get inundated with flaming arrows. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's always keep praying. Let's always be alert. Let's not be ignorant of what's going on. So let's be a people who are eager and excited to meet with God every Sunday. Let's see how He's going to move and build us up so that we can be equipped to go and do His work out in the world as well. But this is a time of gathering, of encouraging each other, of, knowing that we're not alone. We've got this beautiful family here and beyond. Okay, so that's all I wanted to share, and I would love it if I've just asked people, if you feel like you want to come up, please do. Testimonies are so powerful, so encouraging. So your time you had with your hosts, what God did in your life, how it just what Claire did was beautiful. So if you don't mind, don't all come up at once.
Where's the Webers? I saw the Webers coming in. The Webers have got a saying, or Vilma, that says, engage your brain before your mouth. Now, Liz will tell you, I've been really struggling lately, that I've really engaged my mouth before my brain. And the thing that after I've said something, I'm like regretting it. But I'm telling that you that now because I actually want to go back. So the guy we had with us is Corneille. And now I'm loud enough. The guy we had is Corneille, and you don't know this person, so you start to ask questions and who are they and what their life's like. This guy actually lost his wife a couple of years ago, so he's gone through his own struggles, but when I asked him about his hobbies and trying to make conversation, he said, well, one of the things I really love is praying for people. It boosts me. I like to pray for people, and we did spend some time praying all together, and that was really encouraging and great, but he left us a little card as well. And he wrote in the card, part of it was, may the word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, which is Psalm 119 that you all know. Now, for me personally, I don't struggle reading. I'm actually quite diligent with it, and I set time apart every single day, and I read my scripture, and I tick the box. But praying by myself, praying with people is not a problem, but praying by myself, it's really actually been a struggle. And listened to Natalie the other day, and I walking and I'm singing and I'm trying to pray, but some days it works, some days not. And what sometimes works for me is making lists and just praying through it. But to just sit down, it seems like when I sit down wanting to pray, my mind goes blank. Either that or it goes to something completely different. And which reminded me of a saying of one of the church fathers, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody asked him, so what is the most important, to read or to pray? And the guy looked at him and said, well, what's the most important, breathing in or breathing out? And for me, it felt like I breathed in, but I was holding my breath, and that you know, both ways you're going to die. You can just breathe in and you're going to die if you don't breathe out as well. And I think, to me, it wasn't a huge breakthrough or something, but it was just that reminder that you have to really put time aside to read and to pray. And whatever helps you to do that better. And that's one of the reasons I'm standing here, is because what helps us to do things better is to ask our growing church to pray for us. So, here I am. Thank you.
We have Stalin with us. She is a really lively, bubbly, in her late 30s woman, very arty. And she shared her story about coming to faith. It was because she's so lively and bubbly, it was like 2 hours story. The short version is that she, he kept on knocking on her door and she was not opening the door. And Jesus, Holy Spirit, didn't give up. He just kept on knocking, sending people. And one day she was obviously, yeah, she saw something change, and she was attracted not by, oh, let's go find out if he can help me out. But actually she was attracted that there was a service in a cave. And that cave, being arty, she loved it, I mean, candles and everything. And he will always find ways to find us. And for her arriving there, that was it. She went to, as we all do, through the motions. But that's when she was hooked. And I love this way I can keep talking about, you know, I can share it with many because I find it is so symbolic for, he doesn't let go. He will find us. He will find us if we are faithful or not, if we struggle, if we still, we believe in him, but we can't connect, he will find us. He will not let go. He has us in his own strong hand. So that was one thing that I found, blessing me. She sees Zambia in her, in like what she shared with us, what she saw, it was all about these amazing people. They have nothing and they still make a living and they go up early in the morning and they go and somebody hammers there some props and somebody's carrying some goods and somebody on the road and everything. It's like, and I thought, yeah. And the roads and the police and the government. Yeah. So that was my go-to place. And then I thought, what a lot of rubbish. I mean, honestly, 15 years ago, when I first came to Zambia, Zambia was my number one of 11 countries that we traveled in 1 year. It was so beautiful. The people are so friendly, fun, connecting, curious, and creative in making a living through tough times. And I thought, how am I? What ignorant I am. I mean, honestly. And she opened my eyes like my eyes were 15 years ago. And I see Zambia now differently. And I'm not annoyed about the traffic anymore. And And the other man, I'm not letting go. And that was a shift for me, just because she shared and how she saw them through her heart. And not through, oh, it becomes impulse and verbs that we need to put in place to stay here and live here and be here and, yeah, and love here. And she really opened that door again for me, and I felt so embarrassed. Very embarrassed for me to go, you know, become a cynic. That's not my nature. My nature is actually like, like hers. Lively and bubbly and curious and, you know, just discovering people and discovering places. And somehow I allowed it to suck out of me. And that's not me. And that's not Zamir. So she really opened my eyes, but not eyes, but actually my heart. She opened my heart to see that again, to find it again. And then there's a certain aspect in my faith where I really struggle. I struggle so much that I cannot share it yet. I hope I will be. And I shared it with her. And she laid it out. I mean, she was like all the wow this and wow that, and can you see? And oh, let's go to the trade center and let's go. Oh, and this woman we met yesterday, and she's so amazing. And that's how she sees the whole world. And I was more tired. But then I shared it with her. I was the blue. I don't know where it came from. And she switched. And she said, okay. Bible says this verse, that verse. And based on this is how we see it. This is how we live it. This is how we need to live it. This is how, when we want to follow a gospel-centered life, follow Jesus, then we need to do this. It's clear. It's there. And she was so strict. And it was like, all right, okay. I mean, she really shook me, physically, mentally, in my heart. And yeah, so that was the second one, and it's still boiling and cooking in me, and I'm glad I asked the question. I'm really thankful that I had the courage to ask the question. And then, one last thing, she, as I described her, everything is like, the glass is more than full, yeah, it's flowing over. And I said, and most of you know me, I'm quite similar. And I realized I was finished. After these 36 hours, I was on my knees. Physically, mentally, I was completely finished. She was talking all the time, most of the time. But it was important for me to experience it, to hear her, to experience her. But I was finished. I was straight away. I was gone. And that made me realize that me being so excited about this and being so, you know, I want to grab people, can't you see? I mean, how beautiful or how amazing this is, or in my leadership workshops or in my coaching, that I realized, hold on, sometimes that I am too much, yeah? I am too much. Full stop. And just being shown that, almost like a mirror, was a huge blessing. A huge blessing. So that I also just step back, yeah? And give space to others, and because I can be a force, she was a full-on force, or she is, and I can be a force, and just being aware of that, that sometimes this is not the right place, not the right person. Yeah. So these are my incredible learnings from being with her and having had that time with her. Amazing. Truly amazing. So I'm grateful. I said yes. She can be a force, by the way. I mean, yeah. Do you want? Hey, don't you want some cake somewhere? I'm just following up. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really, really grateful. Thank you.
So good. Except Great North Road. Except Great North Road. That one, we can't get over. Right.
No, I like this one. Hey, thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Sorry, I rushed you a little bit.
Sorry, I had to stand because I want to look at you all. My goodness, this is really is the body of Christ. I can assure you, Jesus is building this church. It's wonderful. I'm surprised I'm standing here because I've been awake since 3 o'clock. Poor old Greg started his sequence of seizures at 3 o'clock and I haven't slept since. But anyway, Kath's looking after him and I just couldn't miss today. It's a special, special day. But wow, this bunch from Wellington, eh? Shee, they're so full of joy. Eh? Have you ever seen such a joyful bunch? And passion. Oh, it's beautiful, man. Eh? They just loved each other. You know, they a lot of them didn't know each other. And so they just became big friends in this love of Christ Jesus for each other. It was so encouraging. You know, they would never stop praying. Boy. Wow, it was amazing. And we had two amazing people staying with us. Wow. Firstly, there was old Chris. And the other guy, Marnie, said to me, hey, Chris is a very introverted guy. He's going to battle to say anything. Anyway, Chris was just so full of joy at the end of that stay. It was amazing. And anyway, Chris was a fella who was born in sort of simple ways, but he had become an alcoholic and he had lots of problems. And he ended up being framed and got put in jail unjustly. And was there quite a long time. And it really broke him, you know, and stuff. But then he came to know Jesus shortly after that. And he changed completely. And my goodness, it's beautiful to see that change from a brokenness like that. And then he started to witness to us and tell us his story. And it was beautiful to see this change in that man. But the other guy was very different. It was Minus. Now, he is a big fellow and very charismatic guy, full of joy. He has joy in his heart, that guy. Anyway, he told us this amazing story about how he'd come to know Jesus because he was a half-half, you know, guy. And then one day, the tractor he's working with, it was stuck in mud, and it ended up falling backwards on him and pinning him into this mud. Remember that story, everybody? Gee, dramatic, man. And he thought he was dead, and he thought it was the end of his days. And then he shouted out, Jesus. Do you remember when he shouted Jesus? Hey, I've never heard it. Sorry. And that was what actually brought him to Jesus. And a dramatic story. But this fellow of mine, he was wonderful because he's a guy. You know me. He had to go through my three-hour story and stuff. He wanted to know all about us. And what a good listener. Gee. But what I was amazed at, every time I quoted scripture, he would finish it for me. He'd only been a Christian 7 years. Wow, he felt so full of joy, and it was beautiful to see. But you know, like you said, Eric, it's like we feel part of this big body. That they've come from so far away in Cape Town, near Cape Town. And it's lovely to know that we're part of this big body that Jesus is building. And thank you for being a courageous pastor to talk about the tough times to come. You know, so many people, they look for a comfort church. Oh, I want to go to this church because it makes me feel mushy and life is so hard. It's all about my comfort. No, man, we don't have to be afraid for what's coming because Jesus is going to be with us. And believe me, I've done a 15-year study on this. So there's nothing to be afraid of. But to prepare ourselves for that is a wonderful thing. Well done. I hope you build on that a bit more. Anyway, so what a joy it is to witness for how Jesus changes us and takes people at different personalities and makes us fall in love with them. And so I just praise God for what he's doing in this church. Well done. Thank you.
Just after what Natalie was sharing about, just being too much, I can relate. I often feel that way, and it's amazing. We're coming up to nearly a year of being here, which to me is crazy that we've been here nearly a year. And just everyone's, just listening to everyone's testimonies and how everyone's been encouraged. And I only became a Christian 11 years ago. And I'm so grateful that the first people I encountered when we went to church, when it was almost like in the beginning, it's that square wheel. It's very uncomfortable. But I knew I wanted more. And I'm so grateful that God placed people in my life and in a special church where I remember saying to a lady, how does this work? What are you meant to do? Because I wanted more, but I actually, because I'm a person who's, I like a system, I like a list. I'm like, tell me what do I do? Where are the boxes that I tick? And she said to me, you turn up and you wash dishes and you go and you hold someone's hand. And if someone needs a meal, you take them a meal. That's what you do. And I'm so grateful because that's all I've ever known. That's all I've ever known about being a Christian is just showing up and being in and coming with nothing to offer. And that's what I always feel like. I always feel like I'm not bringing something to the table. But I just want to encourage people, just turn up. Even if you feel you have nothing to offer. I'm married to the pastor and I still feel I have nothing to offer and I still can't believe that it's us that's here. And that's God. And that is, we are the prime example of, it's not us building this church. Every week, Eric and I still say to each other, are we here? But it's God. It's God doing it. And all we have to do is be obedient. And he builds his church. And it's just, it's the greatest blessing. It's life-changing. And so if you don't know what to do, wash a dish, bring a meal, do something, stack chairs. We don't all have to do something like preach or lead a Bible study. Sometimes it's just showing up. We've just got to show up. And it's such a blessing. It's changed my life. And coming up to a year, we started off with, I really struggled, as you all know, I really struggled with this transition. And I'm at the place now where I'll give it up all over again. We went back to Maz and we were sort of plunged into our old life of corporate and everyone just living their best lives and having everything and all the security and living in this nice bubble. And I just looked at it and I thought, I would give it up again. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what God's done in our life. And yeah, it's amazing. A year of just, yeah, just showing up.
Awesome. Anyone else? No pressure? Okay. You're good. You sure? One last chance. Okay. Oh, Pete. Oh, okay. Jokes. Shall we pray? Shall we close in prayer? Yeah, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you called us, Lord. That you loved us first. While we didn't want anything to do with you. We didn't want to know you. But you loved us. And you reached out and you called us to yourself, Lord. And you continue to do that. You just stand there by the door, you knock, and whoever will let you in, you will come in. Lord, there's no one that's too far gone. Not the worst person in the world, Lord. And often it's those people who have the greatest change. Lord, we just pray and we ask that you would continue. Please continue here. Doing what you are doing. Please help each person to, as Cole said, just show up and find their purpose in good time. Lord, every single part of your body is absolutely essential. And Lord, we need to be found strong. We need to be found ready, beautiful, to be presented to you one day on that day. So yeah, Lord, we have a task ahead of us, but Father, when we are yoked with you, Lord Jesus, it's light. So, yeah, we just love you. We thank you for this, and we ask that you continue to go before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. enjoy tea, coffee, and fellowship.